Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting as usual from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are tired of the mega bank experience, and if you're at one of those banks, you know what I mean by that. In the world of AI and computer-generated voices, you get a ton of all that stuff at a great, big, humongous, gigantic bank. But if you're looking for a bank that's small enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them, but they're big enough to give you the services that you need as a business, Renaissance Bank may be a great choice for you. At least that's what the feedback I get from the clients I know that work with them. So go to renaissancebank.com and find one of their local offices and give them a call and bask in the glow of a real person answering the phone. It's amazing. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Jack Murphy and Nancy Diamond. Jack and Nancy are with the North Fulton Improvement Network. Jack, Nancy, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate the offer. And let me second your sponsorship of Renaissance. They've been a sponsor of ours since the beginning.
So that's right. They have.
Ken Davis and the folks at Renaissance, Antonio Henson, have really helped us with a lot of the things that we have to deal with.
Shout out to Renaissance. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's talk about what the work they're supporting at the North Fulton Improvement Network. What are you all about for those that don't know?
Our study over the last 7 or 8 years has proven to us and to as many people as would look at the facts that we just don't have enough places for our essential workers to live in North Fulton. And we are a think tank, if you will. I always feel a little self-conscious about saying I'm a think tank. I don't think I think that much, but we're trying to put out information that will help residents of North Fulton understand why we need workforce housing and what it costs them when we don't have it.
And that's really not where the organization started, though, right? And you've really narrowed in your focus on housing and the need for, as you call it, workforce housing. So why that focus now?
So we started out as the North Fulton Poverty Task Force. We had a grant from United Way, and it was largely nonprofit leaders seeing an increase in need when there was full employment after the recession. Why are we still getting bigger and bigger numbers calling for service? And so we did that work. We did the studies and quickly realized that poverty is one part of the problem, but there is a whole spectrum of folks who can't afford to live here, and up to and including people making six figures. So at that point, the North Fulton Chamber leadership, North Fulton class of that year, got together and thought about it and helped us become rebranded and helped us create this focus. So we are now a collection of business leaders, elected folks, nonprofit leaders, and just people that are interested. So it's really grown in its scope to focus on workforce incomes, middle incomes, and anybody who can't afford to live here that we need.
And this is really, while the previous name may have indicated a concern for those under the poverty line, this is really expanding the focus to something that's an economic development issue that affects everyone, regardless of income, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity. It's a missed opportunity if we don't address it in a huge way. And, you know, how important are our schools to us? How much of your property value is tied up in your good schools? That's been one of our hallmarks. Mm-hmm. What about if you don't want to move out of your house when you get older and you need help? We've heard from Jack and I were doing our roadshow a few years ago, and a woman came to us after we spoke and said, I tried to find somebody to come take care of my mom at the house. And when I finally found somebody who would drive this far or could get this far, she lasted 3 days and said, I can't do it. Mm. So it's a huge problem.
A traditional way of looking at economic development, job attraction,
yeah,
is the higher the salary, the better for the community. And that's usually true. But what we're finding now in some places like North Fulton, the support systems that usually move in after those higher paying jobs are landed aren't being able to live here. And what we realize is when you say they can live a couple of counties over and commute in, we can talk about what other problems that causes, but one of them is those nurses and teachers and public safety officers' jobs are also in the county where they live. And eventually they're going to say, why am I driving so far?
Mm-hmm.
Or as they start their family, I want my daycare here. I keep getting caught in traffic and I don't get home in time to not pay the penalty for childcare. And so there's subtle implications to saying our workforce housing is in other counties and not much of it is good.
So let's talk about terminology for a second. So whether you call it workforce housing, affordable housing, it creates a reaction among people about what we're talking about. So let's talk about that terminology.
Traditionally, we talk about affordable housing and everybody has a concept in their head and it's different in everybody's head. And as Nancy has done some research on how much it costs for a $600,000 or $700,000 home. If you make $200,000, an $800,000 home's unaffordable for you. And that's the term. When we talk about it in terms of low income and middle income housing, it's the HUD term, the Housing and Urban Development Group, that has said, here's how much housing we have to have in a community to support people at 30% of the area median income, 40%, 60%, and 80%. Those are the terms for affordable housing. That's looking at the area median income, meaning the average, the middle income for the community. In North Fulton, ours is $115,000 a year. Mm. Well, when you say 60% or 80% of that as the traditional definition of affordable, that excludes teachers, public safety officers, and nurses. They can't afford that 80% median. So we think you should be looking at it in terms of who do we need to have live in our communities and how do we have housing that helps them live closer to their work.
Okay, let's talk about that. So why should we in North Fulton that live here, why should we care whether those particular workers, you mentioned the example of a CNA that comes into a home, but when you're talking about teachers and fire, police, you're talking about a little higher income than a CNA that's coming into a home. Why should we care?
If you want to stay here and you want your home value to hold and you don't want to pay all at some point to hire police and fire and teachers to come to an area that is not advantageous for them, the only way to do that is to spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
So either your costs go up or you find a way to assimilate them into your community on the front end. So anything we have to pay to get people to do differently than they would do, not only is it not generally sustainable, but it's always more expensive. So we have hospital and medical facilities. We have wonderful facilities around here, but that is one of the hardest hit areas when it comes to affordable housing. And it's not a matter of building more apartments. They want homes.
Right.
They want family places. And we used to say there's Woodstock and there's Forsyth County and people can afford to live up there, but that has changed.
Yeah.
They don't have affordable housing. So that circle of driving in back and forth or finding some other transportation, because we have there's no bus service out those directions.
Mm-hmm.
That circle has widened and it's become a much more difficult scenario.
To your point, I think Wellstar North Fulton is one of your supporters as well for exactly the reason you're talking about, right? They've been actively involved
in
your organization.
And I have to do a shout out there. I'm on their North Fulton regional board, but mm-hmm. I will say they did their strategic planning as you do every mm-hmm. few years, and they came up with their seven initiatives. And one of them was housing. And that's an unusual move for a hospital system.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know that anybody's ever done it before, but it was important enough to them. And I think that represents to me a real step in here, because nobody's going to fix this on their own. The government isn't going to fix it. Private industry can't fix it. Nonprofits certainly can't fix it. But if each corporate entity and each part of the picture gets on board, then you can have real conversations. And WellStar will tell you, we don't know exactly how this is going to play out and what our role is going to be, but we know what is what a big determinant, social determinant it is to health. And that's a huge factor. How healthy is your community? Does that matter to you? Of all the reasons you should care, that's way up there on the list.
Yeah, for sure.
That was going to be, I was going to follow up on that. One of the things I've learned through this and working with some of the hospitals, there are some of their emergency room staff has to live within 30 minutes of the hospital because they're on call.
Right, right.
And I mean, you don't even have to finish the sentence.
Yeah.
If they can't get here in 30 minutes, what happens to the emergency?
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Jack Murphy and Nancy Diamond are with us, folks. The North Fulton Improvement Network is their organization. So what you mentioned government. I guess the question is, what are the economic development authorities doing about it? Because those, you would think those are the individuals in the community that would be like the canaries in the coal mine, right? Because they're sensitive to what companies are asking for when they come to a our community or when they're looking to expand. Right, just like WellStar is a great example, right, that you mentioned. So talk about where they are on this as a group.
Yeah, and I think my reference was to governments can't do it by themselves.
Okay.
And certainly the cities aren't really set up. The counties have always done the social or the social areas.
Mm-hmm.
And economic development in North Fulton really never has been around housing because we didn't need to. There was never a shortage of people wanting to develop here.
Sure.
But now, as our transportation director at the city of Roswell said to me one time, all the easy stuff has been done by now. Mm-hmm. So now we've got to figure out with what is left, what are we going to do with it? And how are we going to be strategic about it? And I think there's opportunities if people understand the problem. And that's really our goal, is to help people understand, because there's nobody else looking at the whole picture.
Right. Part of the issue is just the economics of this are hidden, and the externalities of my economics professors would be pleased at me by using that word. The externalities of that are occurring because of this issue are not easily connected. And that's part of the issue, right?
Yes. And our economic development folks are sandwiched between what they know to be true, which is housing has become the number one criteria. For decades, all we heard was, if you've got good schools and you can grow a good workforce and you've got an affordable lifestyle, all is well. But across the country, this has shifted in a major way. And we've heard about this group in Ohio that has this huge Microsoft project, and housing has become a problem. And one of the people working on that lives here, and she will tell you that is the number one criteria. And at the same time, those economic development people who answer to the city and county elected officials may not find as hospitable an atmosphere to find ways to do that, because that's not what they're hearing from their voters.
And when they make the big announcement and cut the ribbon, the metrics are always around jobs. Right, as opposed to some of these other issues that you're talking about.
Right.
And when you think about it, it's not only a hidden, it's there's a counterintuitive reason for them to be thinking about workforce housing. Because every $200,000 house that gets torn down and a $600,000 house goes up, property taxes go up. And when property taxes go up, everybody that's elected says yay.
Mm-hmm.
I say yay, because then I have to pay less.
Right.
But the hidden problem of forcing out the workforce unintentionally is something that'll come back to haunt us.
So this is a slow-moving disaster? Is that the right word?
I think if I'm not a sociologist, and I don't play one on TV, but...
What about on the radio?
I would think places like Denver, San Francisco, know that these are the things that cause the problem with their workforce and why they have to have so many people driving so far to get to work. If they could have done something about this when they first started to see glimmers of it, perhaps they would. I think we have plenty of time to do something about it here if, as Nancy says, we can get more unified, come together with lots of the different solutions that other cities are trying, and see if we can find a way to balance the middle-income housing in addition to the lovely stuff where we live.
And it's about being competitive. We are in competition with other communities. Mm-hmm. And what you don't see later on is a lot of those ribbon cuttings turn into companies leaving, and sometimes within just a few years. And you don't hear about those. But we've had quite a few around here. Mm-hmm. And they go places where the younger people want to be, where their workforce wants to be. They go where it's where their workforce can afford to live. They go for a lot of reasons. But our competitiveness in the region is at stake here.
Yeah, but we heard, I'll just pick on Avalon. We heard when Avalon came along, that was going to attract younger, mostly single, but two income in some cases, residents that wouldn't ordinarily be here. That's what we heard. But what you're saying is those kind of developments, have they, and I'm not just picking on Avalon because there's a lot of them, but have they exacerbated the problem?
I don't know that they, I think the fact that there's so, they've been successful and more people are trying to do it.
Right.
I don't know how many we can support in the region. That's a real question. But the shortest answer with a project like that, which has been beautiful, mm-hmm. and certainly looks better than the thing that was there before for a long time, which was nothing.
For certain.
To find a home in there under $1 million. Mm-hmm. Or I think you can rent an apartment for $3,000. I don't know if you can get in $3,000 anymore, but those aren't the people working there.
I don't know who you heard was going to bring younger workers in there, but
I don't think they're in office anymore.
But when you look at the progression, when we first moved here 30 years ago, we had to go to Gwinnett Mall or Perimeter Mall.
Yeah,
those are now stifling. Perimeter's doing better than Gwinnett.
Yeah.
Then we did North Point, and I just drove through there yesterday. When you drive through, there's an awful lot of empty stores there,
right?
Because they've moved to Avalon. Now, that's part of the situation with the incomes moving farther and farther out. But it doesn't have to be the solution. It doesn't have to be the way it goes. You can, with more intentionality, kind of balance that so that you could have more of the starter incomes and the early career people going back to North Point. But taking that to the next level up, same company that developed Avalon is now building in the old Johns Creek State Farm place, because mm-hmm. State Farm, in order to find workers, decided to spend a lot of money to move to a MARTA line. And it was very successful for them. They didn't have to worry about people driving all the way out or finding housing around it.
Yeah, for those that don't know, down by the perimeter.
And that was a pretty bold move. But that's an example, in my view, of one of the solutions, which is private enterprise does have to do things more creatively. And the story I talk about is I grew up in North Carolina where there were a lot of mills, textile mills. And in the 20s and 30s, in order to get people to work in those mills, the owners had to build housing to get the farmers to come in from the fields. Same thing happened down at Roswell Mill, where you'll see an old dilapidated building that was worker housing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jack, because I was going to ask about that. What is North Fulton a fertile area for that kind of development to occur, or is the land cost so high that's really prohibitive? Because Nancy, you were talking about it's a competitive situation when you're talking about new companies coming in to this area and they're looking at what other communities can offer that might have lower land costs and therefore give them more of an ability to do that kind of housing in other places. What does that look like for here?
If you look at if you drive around North Fulton and you look at the amount of land that private property owners, businesses have, it's out there. I just coming here, I drove in front of the Honda plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I want to see it stay gorgeous.
Yeah.
There's lots of places to put housing there. Maybe not single family, but there is a lot of land that private owners own. And when you think about what we're talking about, the beneficiary of all of workforce housing is the company. That who wins if you get more workforce housing? People that employ workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting people to think about who gets the reward from this, it's not necessarily cities, it's companies, employers.
I want to talk specifically about schools, because schools have been used in this community for years to attract business. They're really the kind of the, I guess you might say, the third rail. It's really important for people to equate good schools with their housing, the value of their home, right? Let's talk specifically about the impact on schools.
So we had a summit in February online, and we had Dr. Mike Looney, our superintendent, talking about that. And last year, they had the highest number of vacancies they've had, and more than 50% of those vacancies were North Fulton. So it's a very real problem for them, and all the schools are having it. But again, we're having to compete, and that's going to be a challenge going forward. It's a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I know numerous teachers who, starting out, they get a roommate and they try to go someplace near Canton Street and they pile up in a group. But at some point, you want to live the way you want to live. And now they're all in Woodstock and a couple in Canton. Canton is the new Woodstock on that side, I think.
Right.
But I think it points to the disruption. Part of it is our dynamic has changed as far as having households with kids. So one of the things we did a poll on was how many families, what percentage of North Fulton do you think has kids? And a lot of people think that's 70-80%, and it's not quite 35%. So it's a big shift. There's a lot of single people. There's a lot of smaller households. We have a lot of big homes in this area. Something's got
to
give.
This sounds like Florida to me. Yeah, you've hit me cold with that statistic. Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's definitely. You're seeing in certain spots that are competitive, they'll turn over and they'll still be a neighborhood full of kids, but they're more centralized than I think they used to be. It's not, when I moved out here, everybody bought a house and had kids,
mm-hmm.
and or a huge percentage of them, and our rec and parks programs flourished and everything was great. But those homes are now 30, 40 years old, and the kids are gone, and a lot of us don't want to leave our homes. But, and it doesn't make sense to leave our homes, because if we sell it, we're going to have to pay more for the smaller thing. And that's a whole nother, the disruption of the housing industry is something that was covered in our summit as well. John Hunt with Market Insight was our keynote speaker, and he was so articulate talking about how the next generations have disrupted the retail industry to the point where the real estate in retail is frightening. The real estate in offices is a little scary, but it's the same thing with housing. It's coming. They don't all want four bedrooms and a half acre of yard.
Nancy and I just did some work with some high school students around this kind of discussion, and it was down in Sandy Springs, and the teacher who invited us didn't realize that we were going to talk that much about housing. She lives in Coweta County.
Oh, wow.
She drives to school every day. When the session was over, it was pouring rain. And I said, do you want to come sleep in our guest room? That's a long way to go. Now, what are the chances that when she leaves, they're going to be able to find somebody as dedicated to want to drive in from that far away?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. It's not the current folks. They found a way to survive. What's the next generation?
Wow. Where,
if you're a starting teacher, do you want to live in Coweta County and come to a high school in North Fulton? Probably not.
We identified one in particular in a middle school in North Fulton who was a teacher who was living in his car. He'd had a couple medical things happen, and that's where he was living. Mm. And this was before COVID. This was before the houses mm-hmm. shot up. This is something Jack and I were doing our roadshow in 2017, 19. talking about essential workers, and we had to explain what that meant. And then COVID came along, and we don't have to do that anymore. But there's a lot, but there are teachers struggling right now to stay where they are, and they're dedicated people and they want to, mm-hmm. but at some point, something has to give. And how many people, one of the other polling questions that we're looking at doing in this next round of public questions is, how many people could afford to move in the home they're in now? Because those of us who got here decades ago, it sounds great. We look at our Zillow and our house price looks like it's great, and that's mm-hmm. all well and good. But who's going to come next, and how many people are there going to be to buy these homes?
Yeah. Jack Murphy, Nancy Diamond, folks, with the North Fulton Improvement Network. So we've talked about problems for a while. Let's talk about solutions. So what is, you've got an area here that's got, what, 5 or 6 different cities, depending on what area we're talking about here.
We use 6.
Okay, 6.
You can't forget Mountain Park.
I was including Mountain Park. I don't want to forget Mountain Park.
He wasn't going over
yeah.
the river.
Yeah, I wasn't going far enough across the river. That's right. We love Mountain Park. No, we've got 6 different municipalities. The question is getting all them like on the same page, and each of them, to be fair, does have different dynamics, sure. right? That people from outside North Fulton might not be fully aware of. So they do have their own individual issues. However, they're all affected in some way by this. So how do you get them together? What does that look like? And what are the steps toward tangible change and solutions?
So we're a very philanthropic community, and that's where my hope comes from, is that it's people who by nature care about the community. And we have a lot of type A, get it done folks in this area. They're high achievers. And when they see a problem, they start a nonprofit or they mm-hmm. take up something and they fix it. This one is a little bit longer term, but I really believe once people understand what's at stake and get more information is what calms me and makes me feel better. And I think that's true of a lot of things. You can fear affordable housing when you hear it. You can think, and I've been in groups and asked that question, and you can't believe how many people equate that with Section 8. There is very little difference between what that, and we say, no, if you're a nurse and you're making $81,000 a year and you can afford a $300,000 mortgage, even if you had a down payment, there's 2 on the market. Each of those needs $50,000 to $100,000 of work to make them habitable. So what's the plan?
Yeah.
And so that's part of our plan, is to help equip people with information to go to the meetings that already happen and just ask the question. So we're working on our update to our comprehensive plan that every city does every 5 years. They have many public meetings as part of that. They often have a citizens advisory committee. We need somebody at the table that just asks the question. So how are we going to address affordable housing? How are we going to address workforce housing? In the same way that we said, Alpharetta at one point said, we're going to be a technology city. We're going after technology jobs. This is our plan. So what is our plan for going after the people we need? It's not, and I think everybody's perfectly willing to do that when they understand and it's in a reasonable fashion. I think when it's done at campaign time, very little gets accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you just said there at the last, not the campaign part, but yeah, I'm with you on the campaign part. But when people understand the problem, that really is the problem, is getting the understanding of that problem down from the economic developers, down from elected officials to those that put elected officials in office. Yep. And that's really, because it was like, it's like the old stat that Homestretch used to survey they did years ago about how 94% of folks in North Fulton don't think homelessness is a problem in North Fulton.
Right.
And that was quite a while ago. That's the problem. That was the problem with homelessness they were right. pointing to. This is the problem here.
And it wasn't just them.
It wasn't just them.
The foundations downtown for the nonprofits up here, those of us have been trying to raise money all these years, the downtown foundations and things would go, you guys are up there in cushy right. life. You don't need us.
Exactly. Exactly. But the first step, but the awareness is the issue, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The first step is that awareness.
Yeah.
But in the last comprehensive plan for Alpharetta, 38% of the people in the survey that they have to do ahead of time said that we need more workforce housing.
So the awareness is bigger than what maybe I'm implying.
It is. We just have to find a way to invigorate it.
Yeah.
So, but getting the plan done, getting more inclusive zoning. Brookhaven just changed their zoning to allow more alternative middle income housing. Mm. Other communities are doing it. That's going to be something that we have to keep an eye on. But then it's also to get more examples so that everybody doesn't think affordable housing or workforce housing is Section 8 housing. I was just down in Chamblee yesterday and took a picture of the Mercy Senior Housing down there. And it's gorgeous. It's a great place. And right next to it is Mercy Healthcare. That's what I want. I want to be able to walk next door and get my shots.
Or they could walk next door and get you, right?
Yeah, that's right. But then there's North Carolina has 6 communities that have built housing specifically for teachers. We need to get some examples like that down here.
Mm.
We look
give some examples, Jack.
Asheville has 24 units. When I talked to one of the elected officials, they said, that's not going to be that many.
Yeah.
If you're recruiting 24 new teachers to move into your smaller school system, that's a big deal because they start their career there. And then hopefully when they move to Roswell or Alpharetta or stay somewhere in North Fulton so that they can continue their careers. It is the start of some things. If we can get some more churches to do what they're doing downtown to build over their parking lots, to show that workforce housing is still nice housing, beautiful housing. And then try to get some corporations to do the same thing. Disney's building something like 800 units for their workforce. If you look at a lot of resort areas, ski resorts and stuff, they have to build housing to get their seasonal help to come. We just need more people thinking of solutions outside of the box.
So as I understand it from what we were chatting about this before we came on, folks, as I understand it, the kind of the sequence of events here is comprehensive plan and then zoning modifications, changes to meet that plan.
Yeah, each comprehensive plan will start out usually with a data set that comes from a consultant that comes and they study all your demographics and what trends are seeing and how things are happening and home ownership and the rates of, they can tell you how many people have a mortgage and all those kind of things. And they'll lay out what the concerns are. Your old, what is it? The SWOT analysis, your threats are here. And then you talk about how you're going to do it and what that might look like. And then at the end of the document, there's a work plan and it goes out over the 5 years and we're going to do this in this year and that in that year. And you map out, we're going to make changes in our code to allow blah, or we're going to try to encourage this, and all those things are based on the comp plan, and that's the legal basis where zoning comes in. So, you know, it's not that you couldn't go in and say, hey, let's change everything in the middle of the road. You could, but there's an opportunity as each city goes through their comprehensive plan to educate the public, to get people involved, and to just get people in the room. Because I was a council person for 8 years, and I can tell you at these meetings, I knew everybody in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like we had a lot of new people. And when somebody new showed up, I'd go over and introduce myself, figure out who they were. If you're there, you will be heard because there's just not a lot of people doing that. And I think we need to offer opportunities for people to see in the visual preference studies that we've done when I was involved in it. You look at these beautiful homes down, I think it was Myrtle Street in Midtown, beautiful old homes. And they're worth a fortune now. And they look like big, beautiful homes. But inside, they're 4 units of condos. Or they could look totally different. So if it looks the way you think you want your community to look, are you open to perhaps a different opportunity happening inside? And I think those are the opportunities. If we give people a choice when we ask, I don't think people are opposed to it, but there are some places where apartments are called the A word and you don't speak it. And so we have to understand that too.
Yeah.
And talk about what can we support?
Right.
You know, would you support small lots? Would you support opportunities for homes to be built that are beautiful and large looking with more people in them.
So as we wrap up, I don't want to, you sideswiped, Jack, the faith-based communities and organizations, and I want to dig into that a little more. We don't want, not going to let you and I particularly aren't going to let them off the hook, right? Because we're right in the middle of them. So let's talk about that land use where there's an opportunity, and really the, I guess, the faith-driven reason why churches or churches and synagogues should care about this.
Yeah, when you look at what the social mission of most churches is, it's to provide for the people that can't provide for themselves. That's not necessarily the population we're talking about. But in order to make the economics work, you have to have mixed income housing in order to make some profit. That's one of the things. We first heard about this idea years ago from the then housing director of Roswell, who said churches are building over their parking lot. They're leaving the space for the people that want to come in on Sunday, but they'll build 60 units over it, and they'll have some for middle-income people, low-income people, and then higher-income people in order to pay for it. They can either do that as a social mission, or they can hold the bonds and make some income.
Sure.
And to me, those are two problems that a lot of churches that I know are having. They're losing members, or they're losing income, or both. And one of the ways to combat that, while also solving a social problem in the community, is to build housing. Now, it's not the ideal example, but I always point to St. George Village and say, we already have work faith-based housing. Right. It's just not affordable for the average
person. Yeah, right.
It's an example of it's what you example. Can do with church property.
Right, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, and in fairness to the good folks there, the economics were a little different when that was built. Yeah,
true.
To be fair. Let's get to how folks that are listening to this, and I'm particularly interested in your response on how businesses ought to get involved, because this is really important, particularly to owner-operated businesses that are not, don't have the capital backing of bigger companies that can easily afford higher occupancy cost and all the externalities we've talked about. How can individuals and businesses get involved with the North Fulton Improvement Network?
You can subscribe, first of all, to get information to you at improvenorthfulton.org. There's a subscription on there. We have periodic events. We had the summit in February. We're doing a meeting April 16th at St. David's at 3:30 to talk about next steps after that summit, because that was the cry as soon as, because we're doers here. We see a problem. What are we going to do about it? And we have events from time to time. In the meantime, it's about socializing the information and talking to people. And we, on our social networks, on our website, provide the information in bites to share, to talk about. We've talked about having small group kind of discussions. Anytime anybody wants to have one and host one at their business or anywhere, we'd love to come do our dog and pony show that we do and explain why they should care.
And you've got a lot of events. You mentioned the online summit that you did. You've got one coming up here. Let's talk about that if you're listening and later in the year. Go check the website. But you've got an event coming up that serves as an example of the kind of work you're doing.
Yeah, on the 16th, we're going to really talk about those next steps and, you know, what cities are getting ready to do their comprehensive plan and how can we strategize and make it in small little bites that people can get involved. Maybe it's go to one meeting. Maybe it's follow something online. Maybe it's research something. And all of it, make it so accessible that it's really not a heavy lift for any one person. And we can start to socialize that information. And then we'll have subsequent meetings after that about what next steps are on that front and a number of others that come up.
And we have some resources that if a business doesn't want to commit to long meetings and stuff, we can just connect them with some of the resources. You think about small business. They can't afford to do this alone.
Right.
But if we can get some together, get some collaboration, we can connect them with a resource like Enterprise Community that can help form a cohort that can investigate how can they come together to build some housing for their retailers, retail workforce or restaurant workforce.
Yeah, Roswell Inc. has done a great job of pulling businesses together in Roswell. They, sure. You know, back early on, they got the restaurants together and to find some economies of scale about takeout containers and things that you can use your buying power and coordinate efforts that way.
Shout out to Steve Stroud and all the folks there. Yep. This has been great. And I can't imagine there aren't some folks that want to know more information. So let's focus back on the website and any other ways that folks can connect.
Yes. Improvenorthfulton.org, all one word. And that will have the subscription opportunity. It gives you a little background of about us and the focus areas, and it will have some information on the summit. And John Hunt's presentation was really powerful. That was a really well received. He's a data person for real estate, and he does, that's a terrible simplification of all he does, but he was very helpful in helping people understand what the problem is and why we should care about it, because the middle income people have been replaced, that we all were coming in here, have been replaced by the seniors and the young folks who are now the majority of the marketplace. And there's huge economic reasons, even if you didn't have a heart for this, to care about why this is happening.
Dollars and cents reasons. Mm-hmm. Jack Murphy and Nancy Diamond, thank you for your work. We're delighted we could shine the light on that. And you've been at it for a while. So congratulations on that. And keep up the good work.
Thank you for what you're doing, John.
Thanks for having us.
We'll have to have you back and give another report sometime soon.
Love to.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, just a couple of quick things before we let you go for today. I've got a new book out. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. So if you're a solo or small firm professional services provider and you've got issues with your expressing your value, determining your value, pricing to that value, and your confidence around all those issues, this book may be for you. It's available, as the old saying goes, where all fine books are sold, online or in person. So you can find the book, order the book in any of those places, or just go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more. And I also want to thank you, our listener. So here we are at almost 8 years of North Fulton Business Radio. This is show number 760. I just looked it up before this show. 760. I don't know what I was thinking when we started this show, but I didn't think 760. And we've only gotten this far because of you. And that's the whole point of me bringing it up. You have supported us in so many different ways. You share the show, you like us on social media, you give encouraging words and send wonderful notes. And we're just so grateful for you. So thank you for continuing to support us in the way you do as we live into our mission to be the voice of business in the North Fulton community. So thank you. So for my guest, Jack Murphy and Nancy Diamond, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.